Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
When a virus does its infection thing, basically it sneaks into one of your cells. Once it gets in, it finds the cell's protein production machinery.
Okay, here we go.
To make more of itself.
Three me, four me, more me.
Many of the Flemings who settled in London were actually hunted down by mobs because they were called Flemings. And they were forced to say words like bread and cheese. And if their response was a little bit like brod and kiss, they would be set upon and slaughtered.
There is a Cincinnati police shooting range in Evendale, which is right next to Lincoln Heights. And it is loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been there for a while, is my understanding, but it is becoming somewhat of a public nuisance because there's just shots going off all the time.
Find your new favorite podcast with samples today from Brains On, Something Rhymes With Purple, and Here Cincinnati. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Feeling fed up with being cooped up, sick at staring at screens? Well, then turn your brain on with the help of this week's first podcast, Brains On. It's a science podcast for curious kids and curious adults. Each week, host Molly Bloom welcomes a different kid host to chat about what they find interesting and how it works. You and your family can learn side by side as Brains On tackles fascinating questions about the world using science and history to encourage kids' natural curiosity and wonder. The podcast often brings on scientists or experts in that day's field and is part sponsored by the National Science Foundation, so you know you're getting the best, most up-to-date info. So turn the Netflix off, turn your brains on, and get learning. A sample for you from the episode of Brains On titled Virus Busters. In what must be an especially confusing time for kids, Brains On is fighting the fear with facts, exploring how scientists all over the world are working fast to fight the coronavirus. Whether they're working towards a vaccine, helping with patient treatment, or tracking how the virus is spread, the job of these scientists only ends when the pandemic does.
Scientists are looking into two big ways of helping us fight this virus. First, there's medicines to slow down viruses for people who get sick. Those are called antiviral medicines.
Oh, anti, like against, and viral, like a virus. Antiviral. Sweet word.
It truly is. And before we get into those medicines, we've got to recap how viruses work. When a virus does its infection thing, basically, it sneaks into one of your cells. Once it gets in, it finds the cell's protein production machinery.
Okay, here we go.
To make more of itself.
Three me, four me, more me.
So imagine the virus hightailing it to the nearest cellular copy machine and copying its face as many times as possible. Except instead of just making a million pointless pictures of its face, a virus makes actual clones of itself. And those new viruses go and copy themselves in other cells. And on and on and on. A medicine's job is to stop that from happening.
So could a medicine just kind of unplug the copy machine?
It could. But you and your cells, the ones that you need for your body to run, you need the cellular copy machine too. Those cellular copy machines make it possible for you to get oxygen from the air. They're how you make the enzymes that digest your food and how you grow your muscles to pick up heavy stuff. This is where viruses are kind of genius. They travel super light and they rely on your cells' equipment to do most of their dirty work.
So we need to find something that only harms the virus and doesn't really utilize any of our typical replication machinery.
That's Lexi Walls. She's researching medicines and vaccines to take down this new coronavirus at the University of Washington. Here's how she described what an antiviral medicine has to do.
Imagine that the virus has to perform some sort of action.
So yeah, like copying its face on the copy machine.
Then you put boxing gloves. It can no longer use its fingers.
Why? No. What's going on again?
Thinking of trying to use a copy machine with boxing gloves on, it sounds silly, but this is totally how antiviral medicines work, just at a really small scale. They're chemicals that physically fit onto virus parts to get in their way. And there's three main ways that medicine boxing gloves can stop a virus. Some medicines try to stop viruses from getting into cells.
This worked before this boxing glove appeared.
And then if the virus can't enter the cell, it will eventually break down and won't be able to infect you.
No.
Other medicines stop the virus from making more copies of itself. They get in the way of a virus using the copy machine, basically.
No!
Then the virus can get in, but then no more virus can be made, so only that single cell or a couple of cells will actually be infected and it won't be able to spread.
A third kind of medicine stops the virus from getting out of whatever cell it infects.
Door won't open. How do I get out of here? I gotta find a way out. I'm also trapped. Me three.
And same on the other end. If the virus can't leave or if it can't properly produce what it needs, then the infection is contained to one or a couple cells.
Oh, no.
A sample of Brains On from American Public Media. Try out an at-home workout for your brain, perfect for the whole family, with Brains On. Available on the Start Here podcast collection at WVXU.org. The average person has an active vocabulary of around 20,000 words. But for Susie and Giles, the hosts of our next podcast, these are rookie numbers. On their show, Something Rhymes with Purple, they invite you to expand your vocabulary, or lexicon as they might call it, as you learn about the vast treasures of obscure English words and their hidden histories. Each episode zeroes in on a word that you may have heard of, like boycott or hysteria, or a word that you've definitely never heard of, like grockle or smuggins or thunderplump. You'll get an in-depth record of the word's etymology as well as the cultural context the words have existed in throughout the course of history. So if you know any language lovers or verbivores, send them along to Something Rhymes with Purple. Check out this sample from the episode of Something Rhymes with Purple featuring the word Gildenbollocks. The word, as well as many others, marks the importance of surnames for keeping records of language and speech habits from different periods of history. Here, Susie explains a little more.
But it is fascinating. I mean, you're talking about first names there, but with surnames, I mean, some people lived and literally died for their names. William's conquering army, going back to 1066, about a third of them apparently were Flemings, and that meant somebody from Flanders, and traditionally associated with trade, etc.
But there are still Flemings.
There are still Flemings.
There is the Fleming banking family, of which Ian Fleming, of course, the creator of 007 James Bond, was a member.
But when English merchants started to resent the new competition, the results were quite dramatic. And going back to David McKee, his wonderful study of surnames, he relates how many of the Flemings who settled in London were actually hunted down by mobs because they were called Flemings. And they were forced to say words like bread and cheese. And if their response was a little bit like brod and kiss, they would be set upon and slaughtered.
Good
so
grief.
Surnames can be have fairly dramatic consequences. You know, what's also really interesting for a linguist is that very often a surname will give you the first record of a name. So the Oxford English Dictionary will give you a surname. I think he was called Roger. I always call everybody Roger. And it was called Adam. Adam Bilberry Lip. It's the first quotation we have for Bilberry. And that was in a court roll of 1584 in Nottingham. And Squib is first recorded in a nickname. Even the F word is recorded in surnames from the 13th century. So we've got a Mr. Windfuck in 1287. Now, you have
Why
to remember...
Why would anyone be called Windfuck?
Okay.
Seriously.
Because, do you remember, you've forgotten, our swearing episode in which I told you that fucking was all about hitting someone originally, not about loving someone or having sex with them.
It's to do with striking.
So it was striking.
Yeah,
so Windfucker, do you remember, was a name for the kestrel. So Mr. Windfuck probably took his...
Pull yourself together, girl.
probably took his name from the Windfucker kestrel. There's also, in the 13th century, there was a Mr. Fuck Butter, all to do with a buttermonger, knocking butter of blocks. Oh my goodness. Knocking blocks of butter. So butter into blocks for sale. That's what we think that one is.
Oh, so, fuck butter. So it was somebody, as you know, when you made like a portion of butter for someone to buy,
yeah.
There's a great vat of it. You take it out.
And put
you,
it into blocks.
You beat it into place.
Yeah, and it was all about beating.
And the word fuck actually means beat. You were beating the butter into place.
Absolutely.
So he is the local fuck butter.
Yes. And just to finish off, you've got Alice Charwoman. That's the first record we have of Charwoman.
Alice Charwoman.
And Ralph Bullfinch.
The Word podcast, Something Rhymes with Purple from Something Else Media. Check out their catalog of hundreds of your new favorite words on Something Rhymes with Purple. Available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. This week, our featured local podcast is Hear Cincinnati, H-E-A-R, that is, coming to you from ABC's local station, WCPO Television. Hear Cincinnati features some of the city's best journalists breaking down the biggest news of the week. Each installment catches you up on the latest affecting the tri-state area as host Brian Neese welcomes reporters, community officials, and more to talk about all the best and worst the city has to offer. In the midst of this pandemic, it's easy to lose sight of the community we share as Cincinnatians, so be sure to stay in the loop with Hear Cincinnati. On the latest installment of Hear Cincinnati, Brian and his guests discussed a number of critical issues facing the city, including sexual misconduct at Springboro High School, noise complaints from the CPD's shooting range in Lincoln Heights, and continued closings and cancellations due to coronavirus. In this clip, you'll hear more from the controversy surrounding the noisy police shooting range.
I'm going to go ahead and take over. I am going to talk about our very own Marielle Carbone went out to Lincoln Heights. There is a Cincinnati police shooting range in Evendale, which is right next to Lincoln Heights, and it is loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been there for a while, is my understanding, but it is becoming somewhat of a public nuisance because there's just shots going off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Her TV package, the story that aired on TV, she used some sound from the gunshots, and I don't know how much that volume has been turned up, but it's loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently gunfire. And she talked to some of the neighbors there who were concerned about, you know, how do I explain, you know, what that is to my kids, why they're there, why they have to be, you know, why police are firing their guns, what, you know, especially if you're not a gun advocate or mm-hmm. you don't like guns, which is some people don't want to be around them.
Well, there are also people in Lincoln Heights. I know when I did a story a few months ago about the Heights movement, these young professionals who were trying to, you know, really enhance the community and make improvements and help it thrive. A number of them said, and Marielle had done an earlier story about this before I went in and did my story, and they said, you know, the thing is that if you desensitize children to these, that, you know, if you're hearing gunshots all the time, the whole time you're growing up, you become desensitized to that, or it's this constant trauma. It's one or the other. And so, you know, they said that people wonder why our neighborhood has gun violence in certain areas. And it's like it becomes the norm that you're just hearing guns go off all the time. So they felt like there were these other ramifications of having that happening.
It's like a subconscious level, like, well, you know, guns are here anyway.
It was
actually what makes the conditioning of kids that it almost, it's almost like the same theme. Like if a kid thinks that it's normal for an adult to be touching them like this on a regular basis, then they're just going to be desensitized to it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be something that they're going to think to say, hey, mom or teacher, whatever, is this normal?
Right.
Everybody shoots guns all the time. So why shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, they have looked into, they've done some studies on what it would cost. They first thought about relocating and rebuilding a range somewhere else. That was estimated to cost around $5 million to do that. So Cincinnati Vice Mayor Smitherman asked for a few options last year, and the new study got released, made a few suggestions of building a concrete wall to keep the sound down, adding a tree line, adding a partial shelter, or a full shelter that encloses the whole thing. And the costs vary for each option. The cheapest was trees, and that's about $25,000 to put in some trees, and hopefully that'll knock some of the sound down.
Our local Cincinnati podcast, Hear Cincinnati, from WCPO Channel 9. You can hear more news from a uniquely Cincy perspective with Hear Cincinnati. Available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection at WVXU.org or on the Cincinnati Public Radio app. It's Chart Time, our weekly look at the up-and-comers reaching the top of the Apple Podcast charts, as reported by iTunescharts.net. Well, you may have already heard about the new category of entertainment emerging in the pandemic. It's called quarantinement. And this week's Apple Podcast chart has a great example of it. It's a podcast called Oh, Hello, the Podcast, from the Broadway show Oh, Hello. It's Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, Gil Faison and George Geegland, with an eight-part series where they tell the story of Princess Diana in a whole new way. They're determined to win the quarantine, and they're definitely winning the Apple Podcast charts with Oh, Hello, the Podcast. To learn more about that show and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.